Good morning. It's so nice to be up here in front of you. Actually, I was a little nervous, but it is still nice to be up here in front of all of you today to share the message of God's Word. I get to do this once a year, maybe twice a year. So as Pastor Jack says, he gives me a lot of time to prepare. Let's go ahead and make sure all the electronics are all set up. I think we're good. Those of you that have been coming in the past few weeks, we have been looking at the book of Ephesians, chapters 1 through 3, where Paul, who's the author of Ephesians, has been talking about who God is and the transforming work of his son, Jesus Christ. Today, we move into chapter 4, where the focus changes from knowing God's plan to applying that knowledge in the conduct of our lives. So this is the passage that we'll be looking at. We're not going to read it. It's a big passage. In fact, I told Pastor Jack that, you can do a whole sermon series, 4 or 5 sermons on just this one passage. I just get today, so strap yourselves in. We're going to move fast. So in verse 1 of chapter 4, and go right into it, Paul says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." Now, that calling, of course, is our salvation and the power of the gospel that Paul discusses in chapters 1 through 3. Living a life worthy has this image of balancing the scales to bring our life into equilibrium. In other words, you need to adjust your behavior according to the calling that you claim to believe. Now, this may sound easy and straightforward, but it's not. And the reason it is so challenging has a lot to do with the culture we live in today. Now, we live in a culture that is consumer-oriented and centered on self. We value self-respect, self-promotion, and self-fulfillment. And this is especially apparent with our current generation known as millennials. Yes, I see you over there. But fortunately, there are organizations that are helping today's young people deal with this identity struggle. Take a look.
I was at church one day, and the speaker that day was different. I just sat.
All right. Where's the box? All right. Where's the box? I don't want it in my hands. So, but when you order takeout food, are you paying money for the box? I mean, is that what you're really paying money for? What is it that you really want when you order takeout food? You want the food, you want the stuff that's in the box, but it only works if it comes in a box, all right? So, in the church does good work, all right? We help the poor, we share the gospel, we offer encouragement to other people, but it only works if it happens through people. So, we are the box, all right? People don't want... The good stuff that they want are the words of encouragement, helping the poor, all these other things. But it only happens and it only works through us, right? And there's only 2 requirements for us to be the box. We have to be empty, right? Not to say that you can't have things in your life, but if your priority is not to serve in the church and help other people, you need to empty yourself of that so that you can be used. And the second requirement is you need to be clean, right? Nobody wants food in a dirty box. So you need to be clean, and that happens through the cleansing of God and the Holy Spirit. And in that way, we can be used as his vessels. So don't think that you don't have anything to offer in the church, right? If we can empty ourselves and we can be clean, God will use us to encourage other people and to do a good work. Let us strive to discover the gifts that God has given you, and don't fall into the temptation of saying, "What need can I fill?" I've heard people say that. Well, what need is there? Where can I help out? There will always be plenty of needs in the church. In fact, let me let you guys in on a secret. Okay, the pastor's not here today. So if the pastor comes to you and says, "I need you to do this for me," always say no. Okay? If the pastor comes and says, "I need you to do something for me," always say no. Why? Because we don't We don't want to be driven by need. Okay, we want to be need-driven. We want to be call-driven. Ask God to use you, and he will call you to a need. Howard Thurman, he's a noted author and theologian, has this quote. Don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive, and then go do that. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. Let me say that again. Don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive, and then go do that. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. The third area of unity is unity in our belonging. Unity in our belonging. When we say that we belong to a church, what does that mean? Is it any different than saying that we belong to Costco or the YMCA? I should hope so. There should be a huge difference. And the difference is this. The local church is a covenant community. It's a family. And you don't get to choose the family that you are born into. Right? You don't get to call your future mom and say, oh, hi, future mom. Are you good at raising kids? Or can you make good food to eat? Or on my fifth birthday, can I get an iPhone? You don't get to do any of that. Right? You don't exist yet. You have to be born into a family or adopted. Unfortunately, many people today look at churches as a cafeteria where we go in and pick and choose whatever fits our wants and needs. And the moment that we are disappointed, we move on to the next thing. And some of the reasons why people leave the church can be pretty trivial. The music is too fast. The music is too slow. The pastor's telling the same stories again. Worse yet, he's telling the same jokes again. It's too hot. It's too cold. And on and on. Now, I'm not saying that some of these things are not important. And I'm not saying that what I am saying is that sometimes we get too occupied, preoccupied with things that are inconsequential. I'm also not saying that there are never reasons for leaving a church. Sometimes there are, but there's a right way to do it. You know, one day, my daughter, Christiana, she may come to me and say, you know, Dad, you smell kind of funny, and your hair is greasy, and, you know, cool dads, they don't tuck their shirts in. So I don't want to live in your house anymore. I want to live with my uncle. He doesn't tuck his shirts in. And she might say that. I'll be disappointed, but at least talk to me about it so that we can go in peace and that there's a reconciled personal relationship. In other words, don't turn your back on your family so that you can be with an extended family. As Christians, we are all part of the family of God, and that should supersede our own personal desires about what we want or what meets our needs. Christians are called to be in the local church, and this is a calling that should be done prayerfully, thoughtfully, and in community, knowing that when God calls you to be part of a church, you're in. And when you know that God is calling you to a local church, you need to stick with it until he tells you to do otherwise. And for those of you that call Golden Gate Christian Church your home, meaning you're not visiting, you're not just checking it out, you are called here. To you, my brothers and sisters, I want you to take your calling very seriously. If you are truly bought into the vision of being a bridge leading people to life in Christ, then you need to be more than just a bystander in the church. You need to proactively discover your calling, and you need to get in community with others. Now, I have heard people say, the church is anything but humble. I've been to church. I've been to your church. The church is anything but gentle. The church is far from perfect. And that's true. But it will be. Because the church is the bride of Christ, and he will make his bride perfect. And we right now are doing that by the power of the gospel, not called to make it, but called, as Paul says in verse 3, to keep it and preserve it as it has been given. That is the end game of Paul's call for unity, and he tells us that in verses 13 to 15. Until, meaning this is the future state, we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. The church is God's masterpiece of reconciliation, but it's a journey. And in that journey, we will see glimpses of the fullness of Christ. It will not be fully mature until we celebrate with God in heaven. Until then, we are called to participate to contribute and to be committed to the church in unity. And your commitment to the body of Christ has to be founded not on the body, but on the head of the body, Jesus Christ, who is the author and perfecter of our very imperfect faith. And in that lies our hope, because we will fail each other many times, but Christ will never fail you. And the knowledge of that gospel will transform our relationships with one another. My question to you is, do you believe it? Do you believe in Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3, which we've covered in the last several weeks? If you do, then it should change your view of yourself in relation to the church. And when your deepest longing is not in people, not in community, and not even in the church, but in Christ, then when we come together as a church, you are able to meet the needs of others. Jesus says, "All men will know that you are my disciples because of your love for one another." That means that when the world looks at the church, not just in the church, but in the home, at work, at the grocery store, on the freeway, they will know that we are disciples because we are trying really hard to love each other. Only then will they see people who are made alive in Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the church. Thank you that it is a covenant community, a family. Thank you that this is a place where we can grow and serve and reflect the love of Christ. Lord, as we seek to fulfill your calling, may we strive together in unity so that your name will be honored. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.